Did you see that story? I had it earlier tonight. A guy wanted to float across the Atlantic. He attached 370 helium balloons, and he had to, of course, land in Canada. He had a little malfunction. But just, it's unbelievable what some people will do to try to do what other people have never done. 370 balloons to try to float across the Atlantic Ocean. And of course, it failed. He's okay. That's the good part. I'm going to come back in a moment. We've got open lines for you for the rest of this hour, right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Hey, by the way, I'm going to open up a special line for those of you in Boulder, Colorado, in that area. If you check in with us and tell us about the incredible, intense flooding that has been going on there. We're going to be flying in there tomorrow to tape our Beyond Belief television programs, I hope. Here's that phone number to call, 818-817-0021. That's 818-817-0021. If you live in the greater Boulder, Colorado area, check in with us. Just give us an update on just what the weather condition is like there. It's unbelievable. 12 inches of flashing rain yesterday. That's the equivalent of 120 inches of snow. Can you believe that? Back to the phones we go now. Let's go to Mary in Palm Springs, California. Hello, Mary. Welcome to the program.
Well, hi. How are you? And good. Thank you very much. And I love your show. And I have two experiences where I have lots of experiences, but two where I went through into other dimensions and I was with other people.
What was it like?
Well, it was amazing, and we were conscious when we did it. And one was in New Zealand, and one was in Mount Shasta. And
did you do it on purpose, or did it just happen?
Well, it just happened. It just happened. I was in Mount Shasta with a friend that I'd met from Australia. We met at a WESAC conference, and there are all these amazing places to go on Mount Shasta. And so we were going to Pluto Caves, which is considered a sacred site.
Yeah, that's
and
very
so we went into the caves, and there were portals inside the caves. And so we went to one of the caves. And I've tried to go back and find that cave, believe me, and I cannot find it. Anyway, we went into
it. It closed.
So that might have been one of those paranormal experiences. Just getting into the cave might have been other dimensional. But anyhow, we were in this cave and went and held hands and went through a rock, seriously went through a rock. And we were in another dimension where we were actually married and together as a couple. And it was like so amazing. And when I first met him, I kept calling him Peter. And his name wasn't Peter, his name was Gary. And when we came back out, it was interesting because my name was Helen in that dimension, and his name was Peter. And it was so funny, but I had a fungus on my eyelid for about 6 months after we did that. So I know I really went through that rock in some fashion or some form. It was just amazing.
You dematerialized and came through.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of things. It's almost like I'm getting to a point where, did I see that? Should I tell you what I'm seeing? Or am I just in another dimension now and seeing this? Because I was going to Colorado, talking about Colorado one time, and I was married at the time, and we decided to go through Monument Valley, and then there's a place called Valley of the Gods. And then from there, we were going to go to Rainbow Bridges. And so we were driving up the switchback road and, like, looked down, and I saw this amazing pyramid. And it was just this beautiful red pyramid, ochre red, you know, like the red dirt from Sedona, only richer. I've never
seen it. How big was it, the pyramid?
Well, it was as big as the ones in
Egypt,
because I've been to those.
Wow.
And it was natural, and I'm going, my God, and I made my husband stop the car, And I do sound healing and toning and stuff. And so I got out and I got my bowl out and I started toning because I always do that on the planet. I always, you know, it's my gift to God or something. Anyway, so we started toning. I spent over a half an hour there. I just was amazed. And I told everybody on the planet about this. I said, I can't believe nobody talks about this place. I just can't believe that no one
especially
talks about it. And I was just amazed. So several years later, I went back with a friend, and I was divorced. And we went back, and it's a hill. And it's just a hill. But
what do you mean it's just a hill? What happened to the big pyramid?
Well, that's my point. I was seeing into another dimension. And there is a pyramid there. However, now it's just an overgrown hill. Overgrown.
Except maybe in the other dimension, it might be out there. Let's go to the Boulder line. John's in Colorado. He's going to give us an update on the flooding out that way. John, how bad is it?
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, thank you.
We just stayed in the house the last 2 days, but it's just getting around. Anytime you got to cross a river or a creek, even on the Little Thompson, which is a small creek, is just roaring.
And it's not subsiding yet, huh?
Yeah, we've had, we've seen canyons flood before, like the Big Thompson in 76.
Yeah.
But not five of them right in a row.
All at one time. Am I going to be able to get into Boulder, John? You know, I'm flying into Denver, but I've got to get into Boulder. Am I going to get there?
I think you can fly in. It's just getting across those any rivers like Boulder. Do you have to cross Boulder Creek?
I'm not sure.
Get in the North Boulder or no?
I come in just from whatever the turnpike is from the airport straight into Boulder.
I think you might be all right to get in. I'm just not sure, though. I haven't been down there.
What's the forecast for the next day or two?
We're supposed to get some more rain tomorrow afternoon and then even more, bigger chance of rain on Sunday.
Oh, boy. We don't need that. Okay. Hey, thanks for that update. If anybody else wants to check in with us, I'll keep this line open this hour at 818-817-0021. We go to Andy now, driving in Minnesota. Welcome to the show. Hello, Andy.
Hi. Hi, George. LeBron, say hi, too. Hey, George.
Howdy.
I have a pretty interesting traveling story here. We went to Yellowstone from Michigan, got to Yellowstone, it stormed all night, terrible storm. We got up the next morning, left for the Grand Canyon, rained all the way there, all the way to the Grand Canyon, rained all night at the Grand Canyon.
Jeez.
Heard on the radio, it's the second wettest year on record. Then we head up to Arches National Park in Moab, Utah. It was storming up there the night before, and I guess it was the first time it's rained there in a few months. We got to Devil's Gardens up in the National Park, and my triple dometer read 666.
Oh, boy.
Then we headed out to the Badlands. Got out to the Badlands. Decided not to spend the night. Started leaving, we heard on the radio they're expecting severe thunderstorms out in the Badlands, South Dakota.
You're like a magnet for rain, Andy.
I know.
We got to bring you wherever there's a drought. We got to bring you out there somewhere. You know, it's kind of ironic. A month ago when we were taping the TV shows in the Boulder area, the driver of the car who picked us up at the airport said, you know, we've had a drought here. And I said, well, maybe we should just wish for it to rain. Oh, I hope we weren't responsible for that. Next up, Jane's in Milwaukee. Welcome to the show, Jane. Hi.
Well, hi, George.
Hi there, Jane.
I've been listening to you for years.
It's hard to believe how many years it's been, but it ticks by. It's going by too fast, isn't it?
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, I've been listening to you for years.
I know you.
Now, a couple weeks ago, you were interviewing a Roman Catholic priest.
Mm-hmm.
And a man called in and said, do you know the Christ is here? And I waited for you to make a comment about that call. What did you think of that?
Well, I think Christ has always been here. Don't you? Jane, where'd you go? Oh, man. Oh, well. Always here. Well, what else can I say? Wildcard line, Matt in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hey, Matt, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was curious. I have two questions. Firstly, I want to start with the relationship between Israel and the Illuminati and the placement of Israel to cause all the disturbance in the Middle East. I'm wondering if you know anything about that.
Well, I'm not sure about the relationship between Israel and the Illuminati, but, I mean, you are right. Unless we get the Israeli-Palestinian situation resolved, there's going to be a problem in the Middle East until the end of time. No doubt about that. How about the other question?
The other question is, as a child, I was always had dreams and feelings of being watched. And I remember dreams from when I was about 8 or 9 of aliens looking through my window. And I'm just wondering if that means anything or if I'm just crazy for thinking that.
No, you're not crazy at all. At all. A lot of us have always had that feeling. That there are eyes watching us from other areas, other dimensions, who knows what. I mean, maybe you feel something. Ever get into a car, look in your rear view mirror, and see a couple eyes staring at you? That happens a lot. Jennifer's with us, Panama City, Florida. Hey, Jen, welcome to the program.
Hi, George.
Howdy.
I'm calling because I have an alien abduction story from about 10 years ago.
Who was abducted?
I was. But it's a little bit different than a lot of the stories that you hear. I don't have like a positive or negative experience. I just know that it happened to me.
All right.
And it happened during the day, probably around 10 a.m. I was taking a nap because I work nights. And I'm just laying in bed. And then suddenly I was sucked out of my body. Like I left my body. And I was flying through the air, into the sky, into space, like so fast. I was traveling so fast. It was like the stars were hitting me like grains of sand in my face. It just felt, I don't know, very, very strange, but I was going super fast. And finally, when I stopped, I was laying on, I don't know if it was, I wouldn't call it a bed, but it was like a table and it was vibrating. And the vibration just, it calmed me. I don't know why, but something about the vibration or the energy that the table was giving off, I wasn't afraid. I was just laying there. And there was three beings around me that I could sense, but only one that I saw lean over me from behind my head, and he was red. The skin was red. His eyes were normal. They weren't like the, you know, alien big eyes that everyone talks about.
All right.
So they were normal eyes, and he had red skin. It was very soft looking anyway, and like no scales or anything like that. And I just remember getting impressions of them telling me that the earth was alive and that it was dying. And they were just telling me that I needed to store water and food. And I don't remember too much other than that. And then suddenly I woke up and I was back in my body again.
Do you remember coming back into your body, or you just woke up like that?
Yeah, I wasn't. That's funny, but because I didn't have to travel back to my body, I just woke up. But it's just amazing to me that they just snatched me right out of my body, you know, without my permission or anything like that. It just makes me wonder, you know, their ability to do that, you know, without anybody's choice is kind of scary. You know what I mean?
Did you ever try to figure out what they wanted with you?
No, that's kind of strange, right? Why would they call me and tell me? I mean, why would they take me and tell me all these things and then, you know, send me back? Like, I don't have a mission.
Like, no,
they,
I know.
They said the word. It was just like them telling me this. That the earth was alive, that it was dying, and that I needed to store water, I guess, to protect myself.
Just you. Or maybe they want you to tell the world this.
It's possible. It's very possible. This was about 10 years ago. So I do store water, and I do have a month's supply of backup food. But I'm remaining optimistic. I mean, I'm just hoping it's, you know, it's a possibility future, but not something that's actually going to happen.
Well, you know what? They may have been right about the earth being alive. I've always believed that. As far as it dying, I'm not sure. I think it kind of replenishes itself all the time. Richard is in Covina, California, west of the Rockies. Hey, Richard, good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to tell you a story that happened to me. I transferred a job to San Diego, California from Palmdale, and I leased a house. It was my first night in the house without my family. They were going to move down later, and it was a vacant house. I had no furniture. I had an air mattress in the master bedroom. It was a two-story home. The first night when I was trying to go to sleep, I heard nothing but cupboards banging, doors slamming, like 100-mile-an-hour winds, and every time I went to the door at the master bedroom and touched it and opened it, it stopped. I had thought maybe people were vandalizing the house thinking it was still vacant. Then I moved my family down, and there were some incidents that happened. There was a family living in the house below us, and we once in a while would wave and see them because our house was up on a hill above them.
Okay.
And they looked like a normal family. One time my dog jumped in the window through the outside in, which he was a calm dog. That was kind of odd. One time I went into the restroom in the master bedroom, and I walked out, and I immediately went to go walk back in, and there was over 300 to 400 flies in the bathroom. And it literally was three dustpan full of dead flies when we sprayed in there. We have no idea where they came from. I was only gone 10 seconds at the most from reopening the door. One night, I had always burned a Duraflame log in the fireplace, closed the glass doors, always had the flue open.
Mm-hmm.
And one night, the whole house filled up with smoke. The fire department came. There was nothing wrong with the fireplace. Every so often, my wife and I would walk into the master bedroom, and all of a sudden, from nowhere, it would smell like a dead body and then go away. And there was just all kinds of different things happening. One night, I was in the family room downstairs by myself watching TV real late. I had the sliding glass door open, and I literally saw ghost-like monsters chasing themselves that came over the fence, and it scared the heck out of me. So then we realized that the family down below in the house below us had no longer been like waving at us, and it looked like anybody was living there. And we thought maybe that house might have been up for sale as we drove by their street. So my wife and I went over there to see if that house was for sale. It was for sale. The people had moved out. My wife and I noticed the door was open. We walked in. There was alcohol bottles with newspapers all up and down the stairs. Newspapers inside the bottles that were half full of alcohol. Had no idea, all kinds of broken, damage in the house. But the very next day, we woke up and looked at the newspaper, and that house, that it was on the front page of the San Diego Union Tribune, and they said that the guy that was living there was wanted from the FBI for satanic rituals.
Oh, jeez. It was everywhere.
No idea. But we really believe that some of that evilness was coming into our house, and that maybe he was wanted also for mutilating dogs. And there was a meat slicer in the kitchen that he had left.
And you were getting all the remnants of that. Oh, and the fact that they were waving at you and befriending you, they were probably sending this negativity your way.
Something like that. And then we had also known that the original owner of that house was a CIA agent, and he committed suicide in that house.
Oh, so just about everything happened there. I'm glad you got out of that area, huh?
Yeah, I ended up getting divorced, and I had found out that the five prior people that rented that house before me all ended up divorced.
It destroyed your family. Destroyed everybody's family.
These were all normal families, and they all ended up in divorce and had all kinds of things happen to them because I actually rented that house from my brother-in-law's friend, who was a fireman, and they had lived in the house themselves before I moved out. They never told us anything was going on.
Yeah, I'm convinced when evil permeates its way, get out of there and get out of there fast. More open lines when we roll right back on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. Let's go to the Boulder Flash Flood Line. Joy is with us in Colorado. Joy, how bad is it for you? What's going on?
Well, we live near the South Platte River, and it definitely breached its banks. It usually runs about 5 to 8 feet this time of year, and it's at 31 feet.
Whoa!
It's like epic. It's biblical. Our house is pretty far from the river, but it came up today so fast that they evacuated. It's in all the house and barns. We got our cattle and horses and donkeys and dogs out. And at this point, we don't know what we're going to face. It's unbelievable.
Now,
my brother-in-law was there, and he's a geologist and studies natural disasters, and he says it's like a 500-year landmark. He said he can't even believe it.
Now, from Denver to Boulder, am I going to see any of this?
Well, you'll be coming up the Boulder Turnpike. So Boulder has a bunch of creeks that cross it. So it depends where you're going in Boulder, what you'll face, but you probably won't see that. But if you would come up north on I-25, well, it was closed today because the Thompson River went across it. It was probably about a half mile wide in some spots. It's just insane. And I don't think I was in Los Angeles and visiting, and on the news out there, you just don't see anything about how bad it is. It's really bad, especially for the farmers and everyone else.
Now, prior to this, it was kind of a drought, wasn't it, Joy?
Yes, it definitely was.
Yeah.
So, especially last year, the farmers are really going to have a rough time because there's been these really devastating hailstorms, drought the year before, and then we also raised a bunch of corn, so the river's up into our cornfields. It's unbelievable.
How much of this rainwater goes into the Colorado River?
That would be on the opposite side of the Continental Divide.
Okay.
So this all heads towards Nebraska eventually.
Okay. It probably hits St. Louis later on too. Okay. Thanks, Joy. And we're going to be back. We're going to be taking more of your calls and a text call from Tom in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay. Welcome back. Let's go to Dave in Phoenix to get things going here. Hey, David. Good morning.
Hey, you're doing a wonderful job. Hey, I wanted to tell you, everywhere I go, I talk to people, strangers on the street at the fuel pumps or when I went to the feed store this morning to get hay for my horses, and I started talking to the fellas that work there, and everybody's got their mind on all this stuff that's going on that's not being talked about in the major media, the stuff that like Alex Jones has talked about.
Right.
And this fellow working at the feed store who's loading my hay, he actually quit the sheriff's department because of all the stuff that he found out that they're up to. And he and his wife have gotten off the grid, and they're trying to plan a way to escape and all this kind of stuff. And he is telling me about stuff he saw on the internet about about these FEMA camps and how when they was working with the sheriff's department, they worked sometimes with the prison, and they would pick up detainees at one of these FEMA camps on the southern border in Arizona. And he said, yeah, it's got guard towers and razor wire and everything. And then he said that he saw on the internet something about they were, you know, everybody that they listen to and all, they're putting them on a list, and they put they're adding everything up to see whether you're qualified for X, Y, or Z, whatever they're going to plan on doing with us, and about all the plastic coffins, and then he said he saw where they're ordering a bunch of guillotines.
Oh.
And I'm thinking to myself, man, you know, all of this negative news, it's bearing down on everybody, and you're getting to where you don't know what to believe, and you don't know whether to keep how to keep your hopes up or not, and or what to do, because we're all like that fellow was talking to you last night with the astrology. He said, you know, we got to go to work every day and take care of our lives, but then because we're doing that, we're not acting on it to help make things better. And this is such a frustrating place to be in psychologically. And I'm thinking this guy Obama, he's a pall on this country for all of this stuff that's happening. And this has created an awful lot of negativity.
Well, let me tell you, David, a lot of this stuff that you just mentioned is going on. I'm not sure about the guillotines. I haven't heard that one, but I've heard about the FEMA camps and everything else. And, you know, I'm not sure most people can take themselves off the grid. We don't have that kind of luxury. but we should be prepared because there are very strong possibilities that something's going to happen. Tom, you've got a text for me?
This is from Monica from Nassau, Bahamas. She says, greetings from the islands, George. Do you think we will ever be able to drive flying cars? If so, how soon?
Well, you know, Paul Mueller would love for us to fly cars. He's got one that is a little unreachable price-wise right now. But, yeah, I think one day we will. We will get to cars first that drive themselves, and then we'll get the flying cars after that. Probably 15 years away. What do you think,
Tom? Well, they're making a third prototype right now. If you Google a Terra Fugia Transition, I believe it's called, and it's a car that transitions into a plane.
Let me tell you, though, about this. I would think with a sky full of these flying cars,
somebody's
going to collide, you know, and I feel sorry for the guy on the ground.
But how does that work? I mean, look what happens on the ground. So you crash in the air and then just debris just falls on people?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. You know, the car crashes into a building or something like that. So who knows? And then you've got all those drones up there you're going to have to worry about.
I think I'll stay on the ground.
It never ends. Speaking of islands, let's go to Tom in Hawaii on the Big Island. Hey, Thomas, go ahead.
Aloha, George. I've been listening to you for years, and I've been always wanting to tell this story on your Friday night open lines. And
super.
My last stint in the Marines was back from 86 to 91 at Kaneohe Bay. And we were part of the unit deployment program with the three Marine battalions that are out there. And
well, thank you for serving, by the way.
You're welcome. We had just returned to Hawaii, and they leave a skeleton crew behind. Most of the battalion went on a 30-day leave, and I had an experience with a Ouija board when I was a young boy living on the East Coast where this friend of mine was experimenting with it and ended up getting hit by a car and died.
Oh, jeez.
And this is about 20 years later now. A couple of my Marines were sitting outside of the barracks one day, and I walked up to them and I asked, what are you playing with? And they said, oh, it's a Ouija board. And I started mocking him, telling him, you know, it's a superstitious, it doesn't make sense, why are you doing that? And they said, well, ask us something. And I said, well, tell me what my mother's maiden name is. And it told me what my mother's maiden name was.
It spelled it right out, didn't it?
Spelled it right out, Bradley.
Oh.
Yes, sir.
Were you a believer then?
Well, I tell you what it did. It made my faith in God more serious from that point. It spooked me. And I knew that whatever was coming from this Ouija board wasn't good. And being a, I discharged from the Marine Corps in 91 and became a police officer. I was a police officer till a couple of years ago. And you know, Hawaii is very mystical. Got a lot of mana. There's a lot of power in this earth here in Hawaii, and
sure is.
A lot of unexplained happenings happen to a lot of my my workmates, fellow officers at work. It's just amazing the stories that we could tell you from Hawaii about things that occur in the Big Island. It's real powerful over here.
It really is. How close are you to the Kona side?
I live in Laupahoehoe. Laupahoehoe is where the 1946 tsunami occurred, and the high school was located right there on the point. The high school was wiped out. Dozens of people were washed out to sea, so they relocated the high school up above. It's about 600 feet above the sea level, and that school there now, the architect of that school designed the Arizona Memorial. Laupahoehoe is about 75 miles from Kona.
Okay.
It's on the Hamakua coast.
What earthquake caused that tsunami? Whereabouts did that occur? You know, and how big was it?
I believe it was an Aleutians Island earthquake. And then we had the follow-up in 1960 that struck Hilo. The 46 earthquake, the tsunami struck the entire coast. Most of the damage was in Laupahoehoe and Hilo.
and the 60 earthquake was either in Chile or Alaska. That caused, it wiped out the whole bayfront in Hilo, Hawaii.
Well, and I remember there was an earthquake off of Chile about a year or so ago, and there was a tsunami warning for Hawaii.
Yes.
I remember that.
Correct. And then during the 2011 earthquake in Japan, you can go on YouTube and see the damage that was caused to the Kona side. There was a lot of destruction in Kona. It wasn't publicized on television, but there's a lot of destruction in Kona.
Oh, sure. The Four Seasons Hotel got hit pretty bad, didn't it?
Yes, Four Seasons, Kona Village. There were houses in Kealakekua Bay that were actually fell off the foundation and were floating in Kealakekua Bay. I lived living in Lapa-Hoya, we didn't feel the effect. We felt the effects of the 2006 earthquake that we had here in Hawaii, which it caused a lot of damage. We were without water for a couple of weeks. You know, the community really pulls together. And here in Hawaii, we were always expecting a hurricane. It's been over 20 years since we had a hurricane in Niki. This month was the 20th or the 21st anniversary of Hurricane Iniki that struck Kauai. So everyone has a hurricane kit at home.
Yeah. No, you're right. They do. Hey, Tom, thank you for those updates. Our studio's in Kona, by the way, which is right in that area. Let's go to Jessup in Maryland. John's with us. Hey, John, welcome to the show.
Thank you, George.
You're welcome,
I'm going to be real quick because I know time's running out. The latest rules of engagement that have been passed on, I'm going to share this with everybody because I know people have family and friends who are in the Army and the Marine Corps in Afghanistan. The new rules of engagement basically have tied the hands of our soldiers even more the point where they can't even criticize the behavior of their counterparts in country. I was reading in freepatriot.org this afternoon how there was a Canadian soldier who was there a few years back who witnessed a child being raped in Afghanistan, but he wasn't allowed to do anything about it because the person who committed the offense was a member of the Afghan National Police.
Oh. And I bet that happens all the time, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And it led me to, and I posted this on my Facebook page after I read the article, that when we ban good people from stopping evil, then aren't we supporting the evil?
You got that right. There is no doubt about it. I want to tell you what's in store for the coming week, by the way. John B. Wells is going to be enlightening you on Saturday, of course. We're going to be talking about the third eye. George Knapp, of course, on Sunday. He's going to be talking about some cryptozoology as well, and then I'll be back on Monday. Stephen Quayle joins us, talking about some true legends. Jerome Corsi with his latest work on the Kennedy assassination on Tuesday. It's not our Kennedy show. That'll be in November, but Jerry Corsi's new work, Who Really Killed Kennedy? And we're going to have an exclusive interview with Jerome Corsi Tuesday night. On Wednesday on Coast to Coast, we're going to be talking about shamanism, so make sure you're part of that. Still working on Thursday, and then we'll be back to Fridays with those special open lines. And again, download our free apps, if you would, iPhone and Android. And if you're not a Coast Insider, you can be for just 15 cents a day.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware, but now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I always also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid. But as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century. See the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast.
And for Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Alex Lonehood, Sean LaDesure, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, John B. Wells, and Art Bell, and good luck, Art, on your debut. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everybody.